Amen. He is alive, and I am glad to report that news to you. He is very much alive, and that is really, really good news this morning. And I hope that thrills you as much as it does me. I was thinking when I was blessed to go to Israel that I would go on an archaeological tour. You know, I would dig up the Holy Grail or something like that. You know, I mean, that kind of was my plan. It didn't turn out that I actually had time to do that. But I will say this, after all these years, people have been looking for Jesus' body. They still can't find it because it's not there. Now, they found the body of the high priest that kind of got the stuff going, or they found the grave anyway, Joseph Caiaphas, just outside of his quarters. And there was a box, and his name was marked right on it, Joseph Caiaphas. But they never found Jesus. They never found him because they won't. You know, in this church, we say something fairly often. I think we actually didn't say today, so I'll do it. We say God is good
all the time.
Now, in the early church, they used to say something similar, but it was Christ is risen. Well, you guys are well trained. I'm telling you what. Risen indeed, I declare to you, the tomb is empty. He is risen indeed. It's the best news in the history of the world. And today, what we're going to talk about hinges on two things: the goodness of God and the resurrection of His Son. Two truths. And we're also going to do that in the context of beginning what I think is a very difficult message series. It's simply called Why. Do you ever wonder why? Do you ever wonder why? Does it ever haunt you? And I realize, as I even mentioned that it's a difficult question to ask, especially here, because it seems like there's been so many whys the last few years. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And why? Why do these things happen that don't make any sense? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why don't I feel close to God? Why would God love someone like me? Why would God bother? I mean, why? You know? And there are a lot of things that don't make sense, but then there's another thing that doesn't make sense too, and it's this thing right here. It doesn't make sense. Why? All of it. And we have no great explanation, you know. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it that God doesn't seem fair? I wonder how many of you have ever asked the question. I mean, really, seriously. And the rest of you are lying, so that's okay. If you need to, I get it. I mean, Abraham of old said, "Should not the judge of the world judge fairly?" Moses said, "God, why don't you treat people as they deserve?" You know, Jeremiah said, "Why do the wicked prosper?" Even David said, "God, why didn't you answer my prayer? Where are you? Why don't you show yourself to me? Why don't you deliver me? Why don't you seem fair?" And there's so many questions, you know. Why do people have to suffer in developing countries? Why did 130 people get killed this morning because of bombings in Sri Lanka churches for Easter morning? Why? I mean, there's so many questions. Why did the Notre Dame Cathedral have to burn down? I mean, you name it. Why do people starve in developing countries? And I got to tell you, after 30 some years of being a pastor, it's still a question I don't want to dig into, but it seems to me more and more like it's a question we better look at least biblically look at. I will make a promise to you, and my promise is simply this. I will not answer all of your questions. You may be just as confused when you leave as when you got here, but I hope to point you to the one who can answer the questions. So that's what I hope. And I hope you connect to him. Tragically, there's a lot of things in this world that make me ask why, you know. The little child who asks the questions years later as an adult, God, why did you let me get abused, you know, when I was just little. Or the person whose marriage is failing, God, why didn't you help our marriage? Or the one who isn't married and sees everybody else married and says, God, I wonder, is there someone for me? Or why did we get cancer? Or why didn't we conceive the child? Or whatever it is. Why was I born with this rare condition? Why is it I got laid off and there's a mountain of bills piling up and I don't know how to deal with it? And or maybe it's just simpler. Why can't I get ahead? Do you ever say that? I mean, just about the time you get ahead, the engine of the car blows up, right? I mean, why can't I? And I'm sure these are all very, very encouraging things for you to hear this morning. But why doesn't God seem fair, people ask. Now, I think people want to give God the benefit of the doubt. I really do. They want to say, God, I believe in you and you are good, but they feel forced into this little corner. Says, I guess God can't be good and in control, because if he was good, would these things happen? And so maybe people get cynical or stop believing at all. And what a miserable place that puts them in. As I said, I don't have answers, but I know the one who does, and I want you to know him too. What I want to do today is ask a couple of questions or share a couple things I think that are biblical thoughts, really, about maybe causes for things. I'm just going to throw them out there. They might work for you. They might not. And I'm also here to say that I believe that God is in control, and I absolutely believe God is good. Amen? I said amen before you could get out the all the time. Just messing with you. life can be really tough. And sometimes people will say, I think the problem in this person's life is the reason they're going through this is because of sin. So some unrelated sin is making it so they're suffering over here. There's all these reasons people give for why things happen. And I just want to say for a moment that I don't believe that at all. This sin, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Some people say it's because we're not praying right. We're not praying long enough. We're not praying deep enough. We're not praying enough. Whatever. I just want you to know, I don't believe that's the reason either, the cause, if you will. But if you're taking notes and you're wondering why bad things happen, I just want to say to you, maybe it's simply because we are a victim of a broken world. A broken world, you know. The world was fantastic when God created Adam and Eve, had a great time, and after they fell into this thing of rebellion and sin, the world wasn't quite as fantastic as it was before. There were punishment. Having babies, I hear, became hard after that point. Wasn't hard before that, but I hear it's a painful thing. Is this true, ladies? I think it is true. When my wife was in labor for our first child, I remember saying, honey, it can't be that bad. And she grabbed my hand and bit my finger and said, this is how it feels. You know? What's that?
The finger, is that where the finger went?
Yeah, it's gone. It's one of those things, you know. Thank you for pointing that out. And because of that, there is pain in childbirth. The ground is cursed. There is sickness. There is death. There is pain. There is sin. And John 16:33. It does not say. It does not say in this world you will never have somebody pull out in front of you and then give you the universal sign of disgust with a finger I only have part of, you know, and it wasn't me anyway, because I don't do that. You know, it doesn't say it. Jesus said, he did not say no one in the world would ever get a zit on their nose the night before prom. He didn't say the cat wouldn't choke up a hairball on your brand new white couch. He never said that. I mean, but here is what Jesus did say. He said, in this world, you will have what? And pain and hard times and things you don't like and things you don't understand. And then he goes on, cheer up, I have overcome this world. You know, the problem is it's a sin-filled world, you know. I might have trouble because I did a particular sin, or I might be run over by somebody else's sin, you know. It isn't necessarily that I did it. And I'm saying, again, as I said a moment ago, that maybe I'm not suggesting cause and effect or anything like that. I'm just saying we live in this broken world, and some things happen for no apparent reason at all. Second thing, and it doesn't bring joy for me to say this, but maybe you brought it on yourself. Now, a second ago I said it isn't some unrelated sin that causes some unrelated action, a completely separate thing. But we do reap what we sow. I'm not saying that God laid those things on us. I'm saying there can be consequences to our behavior. You know, if you decide to drink a 12-pack some night and you go out and get a DUI, that is a consequence of your behavior, you know? And it isn't that God took your license away, it's that you got a consequence. And this is in Galatians 6, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. What a person, a man who sins, he's going to reap what he has sown. You know, God, why am I hurting financially? Well, maybe it's because you drive a $40,000 car, live in a $200,000 house, just got back from 3 weeks at Disney World, and you make $28,000 a year, you know. Maybe that's the reason you brought it on yourself. I just want to say welcome to Hope Church, where my goal is to make you feel good about yourself. I just want to say that, just throwing it out there, you know. But maybe it is that we live in a sin messed up world, a broken world. Maybe it is a direct consequence, or maybe God wants to do something big in you, just like the story of John chapter 9. This guy, he'd been asking, why does my brother see? Why does my sister see? Why does everybody in my life have vision and I was born blind? It isn't fair. And there was a big discussion one day. Whose fault is it? Was it his parents' fault? Was it his fault? I mean, why did this thing happen? And Jesus' answer in John chapter 3 is simply this. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened. In other words, the thing he did not understand and didn't want, the being born blind, so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Now that's different. It happened so the work of God might be displayed. Now I'm not even sure I completely fully understand that, but I know this blind guy, now that he could see and glorify God, probably was showing the work of God in his life, and he was saying to people, this God is good, this God is real, this God is, you know. Much like the time in the Old Testament, I think, when Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Remember, he was thrown into a pit because he was all this fancy wearing clothes and fancy talking. He gets thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, which has made it so every one of you has wanted to sell a sibling into slavery at one point or another. But he's thrown into this pit, and it just seems awful. He ends up falsely accused. He ends up in prison, and eventually he ends up in charge of all, or second in charge of all of Egypt, in charge of the grain of Egypt. And God was doing something good in Joseph that would be good for everybody else, save a lot of people. And then one day when the world was in famine and his brothers were starving, they came to Egypt and they wanted to find food. And who did they run into but their brother? And they're like, "We're sorry. We didn't mean it. It was a horrible thing. We didn't mean it. Really, we didn't." And he could say simply, "What you meant for evil, God used for good." What you meant for evil. I don't know if you've ever been in a spot that was really, really, really uncomfortable for you, and you just had to, "I can't deal with this anymore," you know. I don't know if you ever worked in a place. One of the churches I pastored had Hope in its name. It was New Hope. Isn't that interesting? There's one just down the road. And it was a great church in a lot of ways, except that there was a group of people there that hated pastors. They really did. They had run out 5 in a row. And after my 4th year there, I said, "I would rather flip burgers than keep putting up with this. I would rather flip burgers." And I remember getting discouraged, and I remember getting depressed, and I remember saying to the superintendent, "Get me out of here." And it was a hard time. It was a very hard time. Why is this happening to me? And eventually I ended up moving to another church, which I absolutely loved and had a great time at. And eventually I ended up moving again to start a church, which I loved and had a great time at. And eventually I ended up the pastor of this church, which I'm loving and having a great time at. And how did all those things happen? Something for sure was bad was happening, but God did something amazing in the middle of it all. Have you ever seen that happen? You know, maybe if for anybody, any of those ministries have made a difference, maybe the whole thing was worth it. And I remember a guy from that church coming to me in tears saying, "I'm so sorry, and I was even part of it." In tears, 4 or 5 years after. And I just said to him, "Brother, you don't get it." Because of all that, I ended up exactly in the place I was supposed to be. Exactly. You don't get it. I think it set him free. Certainly I was set free. And if anybody has been touched through ministry, I've been a part of. Now, what I want to say to you, I do not want to belittle anyone's pain. It's easy to take this wrong. I don't want you to do that. Life is so hard. I've seen so many hard things. Suffering children. I don't even want to go there. But for some of you, it's Friday. It is Friday. And maybe you say, "What do you mean by that?" It's still Friday, you know. We celebrate and we honor and reflect the death of Jesus on what is called Good Friday. Friday, but it wasn't so good for him. It wasn't so good for him. And the disciples are all running around scared, and they don't know what's going to happen, and they think they're next, and we know the rest of the story. They didn't know the rest of the story. And 3 days later, they experienced a pretty awesome Sunday. It might be Friday in your life. It might really, really hurt. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, it might take a resurrection to overcome the Friday in your life. But maybe, just maybe back then it took death in order to create resurrection. Maybe this hard thing is going to do something big through you. Maybe God wants to do something big. But I want to share with you one more thing, and I think it's the good things. Why do bad things happen to good people? I absolutely don't know. But I know one thing for sure. God is doing something in you. God is doing something in you. One of the most annoying scriptures in the Bible is from James. Have you ever been annoyed by a verse in the Bible? Very annoying. James 1. He starts out, "Is your life filled with difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow." Isn't that annoying? "Gee, I'm having a bad day, James. What are you laying this on me for? I don't want to be happy in the middle of all this." You know, doesn't seem happy. Consider it joy. You know, you've been through a hard time. Every person in this place has been through a hard time. Probably lots of them. And if you haven't, every now and then I meet someone who says, "You know, I've had such a great life. I've never had any tragedy in my life. Never any. I don't know what to do with it." Well, all I have to say is, God bless you. But we all go through it, you know. Something we wouldn't choose, something that we wished had come out different, you know, but it made us stronger. I would never choose it. I would never choose for my mother to be a widow at 44. I would never choose it. I would never choose to have a granddaughter born with all sorts of physical problems. I would never choose that. I would never choose to have a bad time at one point as a pastor. I would never choose that. I would never choose for the suffering that has went on in this church. I absolutely would never choose that. Absolutely. I would never choose the suffering so many of you know today. I wouldn't choose that. But I'm here to tell you, even in all that, God may do things in your life and in mine that we would have never done otherwise. Never done otherwise. It doesn't seem fair, you know. And if you want to say life isn't fair, I can do not fair with you. You know, I've buried more babies than I care to remember. What do you say then? What do you say, you know? I've seen more tragedies than you can count, you know. But all I can say is, if you live life with God and His church, if you give Him time, I can assure you one day you'll wake up and say, "God really is good." If you do. And you say, "What's this have to do with Easter?" Well, I got to tell you, it's got everything to do with Easter. Everything to do with Easter. You know, the question so many people ask is a flawed question. Why do bad things happen to good people? See, the thing is, ever since Adam and Eve, there have been no good people. I'm not saying we're horrible, but have you ever checked out a two-year-old? I mean, really. I mean, there's rebellion there, is there not? I mean, it's just, you know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of this holy God, and until we see ourselves as a sinner, we're not going to see our need for a Savior. And so we can acknowledge that bad things don't happen to good people only. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people. Because, you know, maybe bad things happen to me, but I'm not so good, but there was one who was really good. And he had the worst thing of all. The worst thing of all. And on the cross, he became the perfect sacrifice. He took it because he wanted to. He signed up. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He screams, "It is finished," at another point. And he signed up. Why do bad things happen to good people, well, the gospel is that good things happen to bad people like you and me. I've got a lot of good things in my life. We are tempted to say God is not fair. And I could agree with you, God is not fair, but he's just. And he's good. And he takes my sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? They're gone. And that's pretty awesome. Easter is life doesn't make sense. But one day, through the resurrected Christ, it will. It's the only thing that makes everything make sense. You know? I think about some of you folks in this place, you have buried more people than you know currently on this earth. Isn't that something? What's going to put it together? Only Easter puts it all together, see? Only Jesus can do that. I think of the good friends I don't have because they're on the other side of eternity, so many. What's going to put it together? We're going to have a great family reunion someday, you know? That's what's going to put it together. I got no answers, but I know one who does. Why don't you pray with me? Father, sometimes we wonder so many things. And we hear Jesus say, "Why have you forsaken me?" And we know that when we feel forsaken, we are never forsaken alone. You are always with us, even to the end of the age. Father, our goodness does not really make us good. In words, in thoughts, in deeds, our actions are not what you have in mind. All of us, we're still stuck in this thing called sin. Father, may you forgive. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. You can simply invite Jesus to do for you what you can't do for yourself. To save your soul from sin. To resurrect you to new life. Father, may we experience Easter in a very personal way this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.